Hi. The question was, what have I done to help my marriage, communication? My husband and I are also very different. He's a brain, I'm a heart. What I have done before I say a word, when I know we're at that wall of misunderstanding, which could go the wrong way, I stop and I pray, please God, give me the words, give me the actions, give me the heart to move forward, to make this moment successful for my husband and myself. And it has really helped.
You know, Suzanne, you are an example of what intentional living is all about. It's not complicated. We sometimes overcomplicate life. It's a matter of seeing an issue or a problem or something that could be better and just saying, here is one thing I'm going to do. And you're doing it. You don't know what the outcome will be, but you know you're doing the next right one thing. That is intentional living. And today we're going to talk about communication. It's sort of a pickup on a program we did a while ago on this thing of communication in your marriage. You and your spouse are probably different. You got different love languages, as my friend Gary Chapman writes. But at the same time, if we can learn our spouse's language well enough to not only understand what it is, but be able to communicate in their language, it's a whole lot better off than forcing them to speak ours, right? I think that's true when we're in cross-cultural communication. It's true in the cross-cultural realities of marriage as well. So here's the question for you today. What do you need to say? How do you need to say it? How are you communicating? What do you do to read your mate, to understand your mate, to communicate with your mate? Share it live on our comment line. 888-888-1717 is my number. We have from our archive some great calls ready to go on today's program already. But again, the comment line is wide open to you at this moment. Love to have you participate by calling 888-888-1717. You've heard me mention one of the granddaddies of Christian counseling, Norm Wright, wrote a book many years ago that became a bestseller called Communication is the Key to Marriage. And he was right. It is a key. It's a key not only to marriage, it's a key to most relationships. One of the problems we have in our country today, we just can't communicate. We communicate, but we're not really connecting with each other. Communication is more than just noise. It's connecting at the heart level. So let's get going. Melissa's on the line. Got a question for me. Melissa, hey, welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
Thank you for taking my call. About communication, and I'm listening or was listening. I'm wondering, I have some things I'm unhappy with in my marriage, I guess, and I just want to know how to approach several different issues without making it sound like everything's wrong and I just want to give up.
Yeah. Do you guys have times where you talk about things?
You know, when that is another issue, I guess we don't have much time because we're both working always and have a 4-year-old.
Mm. Well, like you said, you got a long list, it sounds like, right? You got a lot of stuff you're concerned about. And you know what? He may not have a list at all. I find this to be the case. You may have one partner in a marriage that has a long list of concerns, and the other one, I don't know. You know, I'm doing okay. And that can feel overwhelming. And so I tell people one thing, the power of one thing, maybe set a couple days a week, couple nights a week where you have a half hour. And during that half hour, you agree just to talk about something important, maybe one topic. And when the clock is done, you're done. Because sometimes, I've seen this in counseling with people over the years, so many times it's the guy who feels pretty overwhelmed with communication. He may not be as skilled at it when it comes to some of these emotional issues and feels like, man, once I get started, it's going to be overwhelming. So pick one topic, have an agenda, give opportunity for both to speak and share. And I hope you both do. And then in the process, that when the clock is up, you move on so you don't get stuck. Okay, let me go to Ann is on the line in Georgia. Ann, welcome to Intentional Living today.
Hello.
Hi.
I just joined the program, and I just felt led to pull over in the Cracker Barrel parking lot and call because a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to your fundraising thing, and it's like, of course everybody needs everything y'all have, but I don't need those CDs or whatever. Well, I found out my husband has stepped out on me the second time in a 14-year marriage, and it seems like the same thing from before. He's not being honest with his feelings, and I'm way in your face honest. And anything I suggest, it might make sense, like be careful where you hang out as in, at work because, you know, your position, you know, blah, blah, blah. He takes his controlling. So I am a little controlling, but he also perceives good sound advice, analytical stuff as controlling. So he just keeps it to himself. We go for an ice cream, and he forgot about the argument. So how we don't communicate. I get loud fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me see if I understand, Ann, what you're, because you said many things
okay,
there.
Go ahead.
I heard you say he stepped out on you, meaning he's been unfaithful to you in the marriage. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just discovered, and I just said I want to stay with you. I don't care what. He thinks I'm an idiot.
So he thinks you should be leaving him.
Yes, he thinks there's no such thing as the kind of love that I have for him.
Hmm.
I'm weird.
Well, I think you're hurt. And I think he's hurt, and I think that the two of you have got to come to terms with, do you want to make this marriage work or not? I can tell you this, that biblically and in the practical terms of relationships, you can't have three people in a marriage. You got two people in a marriage, a husband and a wife, and until there's a decision to say there is no one else, we're going to make this marriage work and we turn toward each other. All the attempts to make a marriage work won't. And I would move beyond where you guys are at this point and find a counselor, a pastor, and just lay the proverbial cards clearly on the table face up. I respect your love for him and the fact that you want to make this marriage work, but there also needs to be accountability. We can't have other people in a marriage relationship. It just doesn't work, according to Scripture, and I would think that people listening would agree who've been through this. It doesn't work. And so my encouragement to you, Ann, would be to talk to your husband from the standpoint of, you know, I want to make this marriage work, but we can't have other people in this relationship. If you're committed to working on this, let's do this together. Let's find a counselor, a pastor, and begin the process to rebuild our marriage. But if you don't, in other words, just assuming things are going to get better, they don't. In fact, unless we are making the effort to see a change, change doesn't occur. I tell you what, if you'll hang on, I'd like to send you, I want to send you a copy of my book. Sally will get your address in a moment. And we're going to send you a copy of my book, Starved for Affection. It's a book that has some practical exercises in it as well for couples that I think you'll find very practical for you. We'll be praying for you. I'll tell you what, I haven't seen couples get into deep holes when they trust God, willing to forgive and rebuild their marriage, not come out the other side stronger. So it's possible for you as well. All right, I gave you three questions to ask. Number three question I'll get to in just a moment. Again, if you want to share a comment with us, you can do so on our comment line at 888-1717. It comes right here into the Intentional Living Center.
Hi, this is Erin, and every day I try to, when my husband gets home, to meet him at the door and to kind of make it exciting for everyone and bring everyone's attention to the fact that the head of our family's home and what a great time it is. Every day when he gets in, let him know how appreciated he is.
I just wanted to let you know that I have been very, very blessed with my husband of 45 years. Every day we both make intentions of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and have a terrific day and a kiss and a hug and however you are, I love you no matter what. Just wanted to let you know. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hi, I just wanted to leave a message about what I think is probably the most intentional thing we ever have done for our marriage, and that is that we take time to pray together every single morning, and we've been doing that for almost 23 years, and it's amazing what happens in your marriage when you're both just completely there before the Lord together. All I can say is it's not only was it intentional, but it's a life-transforming and a marriage-transforming thing. So, God bless everybody. Bye.
Here's the path to better communication. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Practice healthy communication. Speak to each other. Speak with each other. Listen to what's being said. Share your feelings. You know, intimacy will grow as you develop the habits and the skills of healthy communication. It doesn't come naturally in most of our lives. It's something we need to work at and to practice daily. If you don't know how, then learn how. Read a book. Watch a teaching on video on how to communicate. Seek counseling. Go to a conference.
You can learn this, and when you do, it can change your life, it can change your family, and it can change your marriage. Take a look at our Intentionals for Marriage communication here on our website. It's something to help you to be intentional today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Hello, what works for my wife and I in our marriage is after our evening meal, we have a quiet time where we sit together in the living room, we look at each other and make eye contact, and we talk about the highlights of our day, what went well, and we talk about our plans for the next day, and we just tell each other we love each other, and I think that's the most important thing. It's making a special time to just talk and to look and to listen. Thank you.
Communication is what we're focusing on today. It's one of the keys to a healthy marriage. Marriage communication is so important that we don't learn how to do it. Let's face it. How many times have you been to a communication class? When you were in school, maybe you went to a speech class where you learned how to make a speech, right? But I can't think of a place where you went and just learned how to communicate. Let's just learn how to talk and communicate, and which is such an important part of life. And so as I sat down, I created a list of the top 10. I call them the Intentionals for Marriage Communication, which I think we're going to have up on the website, right? You can get it through our broadcast highlights today at theintentionallife.com. But the first three are questions. What do I need to say? If every time you approach your spouse, you're going through a tough situation, something important that needs to be said, you've thought in advance, what do I need to say? In other words, picking your words carefully, because you know there are powerful words that can be misunderstood. And then secondly, how should I say it? Speaking your words carefully in order to avoid unintended consequences. One author talks about softening the startup, meaning that, you know, as a bull in a china shop, sometimes we can run right in and start, I got something I got to tell you. And the person you love is they're thinking about doing the laundry or something, you know. And all of a sudden you got some big topic you want to talk about. To really soften up how you're going to start. Say things that are really get both of you on the same page. And then three, when should I say what needs to be said? Timing is critical. Have you ever noticed the wrong thing said at the wrong time can be really negative? But even a difficult thing said at the right time in the right way, set up in the right way, can be handled more easily. We're human beings. So those are three questions. I think you get those right, it's going to improve your relationship for sure. Hey, we appreciate your comments. You leave so many on our comment line. We thought it'd be good to share some with you. Take a listen.
I love intentional living, and my husband and I, one thing that we've been working on to help our marriage succeed is communication. With he as the head of the family, you know, he really puts himself in a position to be the giver of his love, and then me as the recipient of the love. And that has opened up our lines of communication. We've also made a move towards natural family planning, which has just opened up so many more doors for us. It's all about just being open to each other and being willing to give as well to receive. And I appreciate you guys so much, and God bless. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing. I was thinking as you were sharing that, our friend Gary Chapman, who's written this best-selling, I mean, the simple little book, really, The Five Love Languages, and Gary's been on our program several times. I don't know, it sold like a gazillion copies, I don't know. And I think the reason it is, if you've read the book, it's a very simple book, but it shows that this is a big issue, that we all have different ways of connecting with each other in marriage, because we have different languages of love. And for some words are really critical, others it may be gifts or acts of, you know, affirmation or, you know, service and different kinds of things. But if you're married to a person who has their love language about the words that are said, you need to be really aware of that, because how you communicate is going to be very significant to make that marriage work better and stronger. For sure. All right, Shirley's left a comment with us as well. Take a listen.
Randy, this is Shirley Blair, and I was wanting to tell you that years ago when my husband and I first got married, we had a disagreement, and we agreed to disagree, So what was so funny about that, we were married for 34 years, and I can't tell you now what that was ever about. And we totally forgot it. And he helped lead me to the Lord when we first got married. And I wanted to say he did pass away 5 years ago from Agent Orange, but he was such an influence to me. He was a very good Christian man, and we had a very good Christian marriage. And I just wanted to say it's very important to talk to each other and have it settled before you go to bed every night.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to be angry but don't sin. It's an interesting verse, actually, to be angry and don't sin. It's kind of like those are juxtaposed. How in the world can you be angry and then not sin? Well, anger, in other words, is an emotion God's given us. It's part of life. In fact, if you have difficulty being in touch with your emotions, be concerned. I mean, if you can say, I've never felt anger or I've never felt joy, you're just flat all the time, and you're married to someone who has this emotional range, that can create a problem. But that verse goes on to say, be angry and don't sin, and don't let, you know, the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, deal with it at that very moment. All right, this is good. I appreciate your comments. We got more coming up as we talk about the power of intentionally communicating in marriage.
And when we think about goal setting, goals start with me. You know, I have a goal. I have a goal that I want to lose weight. I have a goal that I want to get out of debt. I have a goal that I want to raise responsible kids. I have a goal that I want to have a career. Or I have a goal that, you know, I want to buy something, you know, a year from now. We all have these, don't we? But a dream that's more powerful and deep in our life is something that originates with God Himself. Now, I look at my dad, who's now in heaven. Now that I'm older and I reflect back on his life, you start to see things, you know, I start to realize certain things that may have been going on in his life. And my dad didn't really discover the dream for his life till he was 53. He'd lived 67% of his days just doing stuff. I mean, he did good stuff. You know, he served in the church, and I think he was on the church board, and he provided for us, and he did all these things. But as I look back now, I can feel, I can sense that as I was with my dad in part of those 53 years, to realize he wasn't in that sweet spot of really having that dream that God had planted in his life. And when he was 53 years old, it was like God revealed to him, there's got to be more to life than just doing what I'm doing.
A dream worth pursuing. That's the lesson, the featured lesson, the members only lesson, available on our website with much thanks to our member community supporting the ministry with your prayers and your financial support. Go to theintentionallife.com, put in that little member code, and as you join today, we make sure you receive that as well as a way of saying thank you. I do want to say, however, that 95% of our website and all the content is just available to everybody. This is just a way that I can connect with our members, an exclusive part of the site, and it's a way of saying thank you for standing with us. Your support's making a difference. You can call 888-888-1717, press number 2, or you can go on over to theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
You know, I was thinking about this topic today, communication and marriage, and thinking about my wife, Donna, and myself. We've married a lot of years, and we've had times, I mean, come on, you may listen in and say, hey, he's got it all together, but sometimes we go home and they won't have it all together because we're humans too. And Don and I have a little different communication styles. We all have expectations in communication, don't we? I say that I judge me by my intention, but I'm going to judge you by my expectations, right? And so that creates the dynamic that's a problem in marriage. And my wife is she shares her expectations through suggestions. That's how she likes to communicate, suggestions. I'll give you an example. Here's a suggestion. You know, the garbage is supposed to get out to the street. That's about it. You know, it's not like, would you take it out? It's sort of a suggestion that maybe we should think about getting the garbage out to the street. And I'm a bottom line person, and I'll tell Donna, just tell me, you want the garbage out to the street? I'll take the garbage out to the street. You know, we don't have, like, we go out to eat. I mean, after all these years, we go through this same pattern. Where do you want to go? I ask her, where would you like to go? She says, I don't care. And I found that the woman does care. I mean, she really does care. And so my goal is to try to figure out what she cares about that night to see if I'm right. Because then I'll say, well, let's go over here. I don't know. That doesn't sound very good. Okay, so I know she cares, but she's not going to tell me. And so to be able to communicate, sometimes you have to laugh at this too, because we can make big things out of little deals. And if you can understand the fact that it's intention and expectations that get us into trouble, if we can just clarify, is this what you expect? Is this what you intended? I think those are two great questions. Is this what you expected? And is this what you intended? Because if we can get those clarified, it will build healthier relationship in marriage. Appreciate your comments. Kathy has shared a comment from Missouri.
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm from Missouri, and I just wanted to leave a little message about communication. And my husband and I were married for 11 years prior to becoming Christians. And the interesting thing we learned in Bible study was the 4:32 rule of marriage, which it's Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ God forgave you. That works wonders in communication and marriage.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up, because when I do a conference in marriage, I'll often camp in Ephesians 4. We'll start about verse 23 and go through 32, because in those, 8 or 10, 12 verses, Paul unpacks really five really powerful things. First of all, about our thinking, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, be angry and don't sin, our emotions, be active with your hands, in other words, working, using your hands, the behaviors that we have. He says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Isn't that interesting? He puts all of these things together. And corrupt communication doesn't always have to be vile or blasphemy. Sometimes it can be corrupt in terms of, just like in a computer, you get a little corruption in there, it destroys the whole program, right? Just putting things into your communication that corrupts the relationship. And then, as Kathy mentioned, Ephesians 4:32, that we forgive one another just as Christ has forgiven us.
Family Life Radio has been a life-changing thing for me. It has really made me be intentional every day, and it's teaching my children wonderful values and my family a new way to survive in this world that has so many things that can hit us all at one time. But it's such an encouragement to have everyone give such wonderful advice. Thanks so much for all you do. My family wouldn't be able to make it and be happy right now if it wasn't for you. You have a wonderful day.
Well, thank you for that testimony. You know, the reason that I'm involved in this ministry for all of these years is because I've seen the results in the lives of people. Being able to be with people 24 hours a day whenever they, on demand, push the button to hear the radio or listen to a podcast or some of the content that we produce here that draws people to Christ. That's why we do this. You know, even like today when we're talking about marriage and the importance of a marriage decision and the person that you pick and agree to marry for life. These are big decisions. And as we work together and pray together and plan and look at our lives, and the whole goal here is to help you experience life, in this case, your marriage and your relationships and your family, the way God intended, that's why we do this. And when I hear a testimony like the one you just heard, it's a reminder that we walk with people in different situations. And you walk with us when you support the ministry. This is a listener-supported ministry. We don't get any government grants because of men and women and sometimes small businesses that support and donate to help the ministry, and singles and young and old and people who give through their retirement accounts and through whatever the means are every day. And it's a blessing. And I would ask you to come and be a part of Intentional Living today. Stand with us as together we reach people for Jesus Christ. You can call us during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, press number 2. We've got a great staff member who'd love to talk to you and pray with you and receive that commitment to join us. Or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon and come and be a part of the ministry of Intentional Living and be a difference maker. And thank you for doing that.
Hi, my name is Amy, and just listening to Intentional Living, the talk about communication in marriage has been a huge topic for me in the last year, really realizing the differences between my husband and myself and celebrating those differences instead of becoming frustrated over them. For example, I am a very analytical mind. I think things all the way through, and I stay up all night chewing on situations and scenarios and ways that I need to respond, or if I say it this way, how will that affect the outcome? Versus my husband, who is much more simple, does not feel the full weight of situations to the extent that I do, and he's more just kind of cut and dried about things. And in this last year, I've really been learning to make room to allow him to be who he is and not become frustrated because he won't dive into conversation at the level that I want him to. And so I frustrate him a lot because when he needs to share a story, like from work or from life in general, I'm always going, well, let's think about, you know, how we can respond to that, or maybe if you can adjust your attitude, maybe they can, you know, listen better. And he's usually just needing to be heard. And so I've really had to open up this last year and use my own problem-solving mindset to allow him to just be who he is and celebrate who he is and be really kind of happy that he can be so simple and things are not complicated with him.
Intentional Living's on the air every day to remind us what the scripture says about Ephesians 5:10, where Paul says, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. And it's because of his intentional love, he loves us so intentionally every day, that we in turn should be intentional in our love for those around us, our family, our kids, our neighbors, reaching people for Christ. That's the message of Intentional Living. I thank you for joining me today and our team. And we'll be here again next time from the Intentional Living Center with more help as you walk intentionally with him every day.